Leaders. You're listening to Leaders.com.
Alhamdulillah wa kafa. Wassalamun ala ibadihi allazina istafa. Amma ba'd. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وسارعوا إلى مغفرة من ربكم وجنة عرضها السماوات والأرض أعدت للمتقين صدق الله العظيم سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم Respected brothers, respected elders, mothers and sisters listening at home, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala communicates with the people of Iman by His glorious speech, by the Quran, the Kalam of Allah. And so that is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks with every one of us. And Allah's Kalam, the glorious speech, is nothing but guidance, hidayat. So what you will find in the Quran is guidance that is intended to make sure that a believer remains firm on the straight path. And so that is why also in Jumu'ah I had mentioned that when you look into the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in many verses of the Quran has said that the one thing you must remember is your stay in this dunya is very, very short. That is the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And especially for the ummah of Nabiyyu Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And so why is your stay very short in this dunya? That was explained because your real home, your real house, your real place of residence is not this dunya. Your real residence is Jannah, paradise. And so we are just living here, temporary accommodation. And so from the house you live in, you are moved to another property that is not even considered as a one bedroom apartment. Now for a one bedroom apartment, how much rent do you have to pay? And this is not even a one bedroom, one room apartment, the grave. So that is where you are moved. But this grave is not a grave. For the people who have Iman, this grave is a garden of Jannah. A garden of Jannah. Rawzatum min Riyazil Jannah. And so the wisdom why Allah is continuously telling us that your life in this dunya is short. Why? An intelligent person will understand that if my duration in dunya is very, very brief, then I must not waste my time in things that are not going to benefit me. Because my time here is very short. So why should I waste my time? A person will not want to waste his time. And shaitan, this is what he does. He will make you waste your time. Now, just to give you an example, inshallah, for people to understand, imagine you are doing an exam paper, a very important exam, and that paper that has been written has a time duration of 1 hour 20 minutes. And so 1 hour 20 minutes, all the students are sitting there. And at 9 o'clock the exam will start and 10:20 the exam ends. So the teacher has made sure that all the children revise. And he has also given them a hint that generally these are the questions that can come up. So a person now is in the exam room. And so when he looks at the exam paper, he is very happy because he has revised. What has he done? He has revised. He's happy. Now instead of picking up the pen and writing on it, what he is doing is that he is admiring the pen. He is admiring the classroom that is around him. He is admiring the windows. He is admiring the carpet. He is admiring the lights. He is looking at other people and admiring them. And he forgets that he is there for a reason. He's already done his work. He knows why he's there. He has been informed. But he is so occupied in other things. And he's admiring other things. That by the time he comes to his realization that, oh my God, this is an exam room and I am sitting for an exam, it is 10 past 10. What time is it? 10 past 10. How many minutes has he got to write that exam which was set for 1 hour and 20 minutes? How many minutes has he got now? 10 minutes. So now quickly he takes the pen. Oh, what am I? Writing, writing. Now, at 10:20, he still wants to write, but he has to stop. He's just barely gone through his first question, despite the fact that he knew most of the questions, but he was too busy admiring other things. And then he fails that exam. Can he blame anybody? Can he blame anyone? He can't blame anyone but himself, that he is a fool. He is a fool. He had the best teacher. He had the best teacher, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He had the best teacher, and such a teacher that gave him the questions and the answers. The questions and the answers. All you had to do was write it down, make sure that you understand this is what you have to do. And he couldn't even figure that out in life and he was distracted. This modern world is all about distraction. 90% of the people who study in university can't study like how they need to study because of the distraction that is there. It is only that 10% that really become qualified, that you can say that they are, you know, professional people in their field. But the rest of them is just the gutter water that is mixed with water and just continues to flow. There is so much distraction. And my young friends that are here, Jazakallah for coming, taking out your time to listen for the pleasure of Allah, sitting here. You are only sitting here because Allah loves you. You are only sitting here because Allah loves you. Believe me, if Allah did not love you, and if Allah did not intend good for you and khair for you, you would not be sitting here. You would be elsewhere. you would be elsewhere. That is why, Umar Farooq, your duty to bring me back to my topic, eh? So you better be listening. I'm going to divert for a bit only. I'm trying to come back. You don't expect me to remember everything, eh? That's why I have to bring a book and, you know, make sure that I'm straight, you know. Some people don't say, Molsab, you go here, you go then bungee jumping here, then you are skiing there. So I have to now quickly look, why you're talking here now, just go here and here. You see? Huh? Yeah, we were in exams. So who is there to blame now? So this man understands that he is in this dunya, and this dunya is a test, but he is distracted by the classroom, and the classroom is this world. So he's distracted by the world, and he looks at the world and he admires the world, and he's distracted by the people who don't understand why they are there, and he's busy talking with them, and then all of a sudden he gets a heart attack. And that heart attack is a severe heart attack. And it affects him in such a way that the doctors say, I'm not sure, we can't do any treatment. The heart has become very weak. Maybe just a few hours, maybe 10 minutes. Now he realizes, oh ho, heart attack. I am now facing the grave. And what did I do? I didn't pray my namaz. I didn't pray my Quran, recite the Quran. I didn't do my duty. Why? The reason why I was here. And now I am going to my next journey. What a foolish man I am. So my respected brothers, distraction. What is it? Distraction. Allah save us from distraction. Any young person here understands, and he is smart and clever. And Muslims have to be smart and very clever. Nobody should allow you that they can pull you in any direction that they want. They can't pull you in any direction. Why? Because we are the slaves of Allah. We are the slaves of Allah. Nobody can pull us anyway, in any direction. So anyway, distractions we were talking about, and I said, Imam Ibn Taymiyyah rahmatullah alayh is considered to be one of the greatest scholars of this ummah. Imam Ibn Taymiyyah rahmatullah alayh. Great, great scholar. And especially in the Arab world, he is rated like how we rate Imam Abu Hanifa. Like how we as people in the subcontinent take Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayh. In the Arab part of the world, you will find Ibn Taymiyyah rahmatullah alayh to be a great alim. And no doubt, a man of great admiration. The books that he has written, Fatawa Ibn Taymiyyah, and you read his books. And a great mujahid. And such a scholar that, you know, one would say that his ijtihad and his understanding of fiqh. We know of people like Ibn al-Qayyim al-Jawzi rahmatullah alayhi also. Great scholars. So Imam Ibn Taymiyyah rahmatullah alayhi was questioned. And someone said to him, Hazrat, only Allah knows who will go to Jannah, paradise. But can you tell us, can you give us some indication, some signs, according to you, the people who will go to Jannah and the people who will go to Jahannam? The people who will go to Jannah and the people who will go to Jahannam. I'm so happy, Vikash, you are here, mashallah. So nice to see you. Welcome to Masjid Umar. Alhamdulillah, jazakallah. And so who will go to paradise and who will go to hellfire, Jahannam? Imam Ibn Taymiyyah rahmatullah alayh, the giant that he is in the league of the fuqaha. Really, he is in that league of fuqaha of Imam Abu Hanifa, Imam Malik. He's in that league. He says, the sign in this dunya for the people who Allah will give Jannah are those who are always happy with Allah. Who will go to Jannah? Allah has destined and Allah has decreed for those people to go to Jannah that they are always happy with Allah. Anything good happens, alhamdulillah. If any difficulty comes, alhamdulillah, it is from my Allah. Everything that happens in their life, they say, no, no, everything is from Allah. If they want to do something, they will say, inshallah. And if they start something, they will say, bismillah. And if they see a blessing, they will say, barakallah. And continuously, their life is such that they are just too happy with Allah and whatever Allah decides for them. Just too happy, bas. And then he said, the people who will be thrown in hellfire, the people who will be thrown in hellfire, are those people who have a habit of complaining to Allah all the time, and who find faults in Islam, and who are always complaining, oh, I lifted up my hands to Allah, and I've been praying to Him for so many years, He doesn't listen to my dua, oh, I gave charity, why didn't this happen, why didn't this happen, why is this law in Islam, why is there this law in Islam, why is this in Islam, why is that in Islam? When a person gets into this habit of finding faults in his maker, despite the fact that his brain is so small and there is so much deficiency in his brain also, but yet he wants to talk about mighty Allah the Creator, then Imam Ibn Taymiyyah rahmatullah alayhi has said that these are the people who will be deprived from Iman. Allah save us. That is why we must train our youth that whenever you say anything, you must always say, Inshallah. What should you say? Inshallah. Inshallah is a weapon of a believer. Inshallah. Inshallah. Very important. We will be going there tomorrow, Inshallah. We are going to the masjid, inshallah. Even when you write text messages, if you want to know how much a person loves Allah, then open your messages and read the messages of your 10 best friends. Of your 10 best friends. Read the messages of your 10 best friends, and that will indicate to you how much love they have for Allah just by reading their message. Just by reading the message. A person who loves Allah, even in messaging you, Barakallah, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad, La ilaha illallah, Assalamu alaikum, wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Insha'Allah, Jazakallah, and all Islamic stickers. What is it? Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah. All. Ab to main stickers kahun na, Islamic stickers. Technology does the work for you. You know, you don't have to now become like Idris, clever, smart. You know, you can do it yourself now. But you still need him. But anyway, and then you will find another person. There is hardly any mention of Allah. There is hardly any mention of Islam. There is hardly any mention of Salam, Assalamu alaikum, this, that, nothing. This tells you that these friends are dangerous. What are they? That these friends are dangerous. And if you want to be a friend to them, then it is to your own detriment. It is to your own detriment. It is up to you. But people, Imam Ibn Taymiyyah has mentioned, a Muslim is looking for excuses to take the name for Allah. And the person who does not have that connection is always finding faults. Always. You see, when you don't like something, even genuinely there is no fault, you will still see it as a fault. Why? Because your heart is set in something and you don't like it. That is the issue. Allah give us the tawfiq. So now I'm going to go back. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that our duration in this dunya is very, very short. Why is He continuously telling us this? So that we don't waste our time. So that we are not distracted. This is the beauty of Quran, revealed in 7th century, but still, subhanallah, a Quran that we understand in this modern world. We understand in this modern world. There is so much distraction. Make sure you don't forget why you are here in this dunya. And so look at the words of the Quran. And remember what I said in the beginning, that Allah is communicating with us via Quran, His glorious speech. Allah is talking with us. So now Allah is talking with us. Allah is giving us another message. وَسَارِعُوا إِلَىٰ مَغْفِرَةٍ مِّن رَبِّكُمْ وَجَنَّةٍ وَسَارِعُوا. سَارِعُوا in the Arabic language means to sprint. What is it? To sprint. To run very, very fast. Allah is saying, show ujlat, hasten towards the forgiveness of Allah. Hasten towards the forgiveness of Allah. That means that do actions in this dunya that will quickly qualify your maghfirat. That will qualify your maghfirat. That you do an action which you feel in your heart, inshaAllah, that by doing this, Allah will do also my maghfirat, forgive me completely. And Allah is saying, hasten towards the forgiveness of Allah, and sprint and run. Allah is saying, run towards where? وَجَنَّةٍ وَجَنَّةٍ عَرْضُهَا السَّمَاوَاتُ وَالْأَرْضُ. That jannat which is so vast, its vastness is equivalent to the heavens and the earth. أُعِدَّتْ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. And Allah has mentioned, Allah has prepared Jannah for those who are mindful to Allah. أُعِدَّتْ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ means those who are mindful to Allah. Mindful to Allah. So a person has to be very, very careful. Today, unfortunately, we are rushing towards things that will throw you into the wrong direction. But we have to be very careful. There is a story that is mentioned in the books, a true story. During the Islamic Khilafat, there was a king. And that king was very huge, very fat. And he went to every doctor for treatment to lose weight. And so he went everywhere. Being a king, he had access to so many great doctors, physicians, everywhere. But unfortunately, by the day, he was getting bigger and bigger and bigger in size. Allah save us. It's musibat also. And someone came to him, his wazir said to him that we know of one doctor, not only is he a hakim, but also a great alim. So he is two in one. He is well known for hikmat. Now back in the days in the Islamic Empire, if you were ill, you went to a hakim. Where did you go to? Hakim. Hakim is different to a doctor. And these hakims were very powerful. So it's only now that we are living in the Western world and conventional medication that we use. But even now, you'll find a lot of people have their own personal hakim. And they will actually do your treatment by herbs, jari butiya. And it doesn't have side effect. And they are experts. They will just look into your eyes and tell you what is the problem and things like that. So there is one Hakim who is also a great alim, well known, and also a doctor, Hakim. But we will have to go to him. So the king said, chalo, let's go to him. So anyway, the king got to him. And he met the Hakim and he said, look, you know what, can you do my treatment? Unfortunately, this disease that, you know, my weight is increasing all the time. So he says, it's fine, no problem, I can cure you. He says, but what you do is go back home and then come back to me later on so that I can get all the right herbs and then give you your medication. So anyway, he went, and then after a few days, 3-4 days, he came back. So the Hakim Saab, he came to him and said, now, what dawa do you want me to take? What medication do you want me to take? So he says, actually, you know what, I can't give you any treatment. He says, why can't you give me any treatment? He goes, it's a waste of time. Looking at you, it's a waste of time. He says, what do you mean? He says, Hakim Saab, you know, as you left that night, I saw a dream, and in my dream, I was informed that so and so king is going to die within 40 days. You are going to die within 40 days. And I consulted other people who were masters in the subject of ta'bir, interpretation of dreams. So they said, yes, this king is going to die. This is the meaning of the dream. So the most you have is 39, 40 days. Now 39, 40 days, what do you want to go through this difficulty? Whatever you need to do as a king, you know, just do and, you know, turn to your Lord and whatever you want to do. He was also a Muslim king. So he said, is that so? Bas, my days are over. He goes, yeah. He says, okay. He went back. He was very sad. And then he said to his family that, look, you know what? Let me have my serious connection to my Allah and talk to my people and, you know, make sure everything is done right. And so for 40 days, mashallah, you know, he was playing tahajjud, turning to Allah, did everything, alhamdulillah. And then on the 40th day, he said to his wife that, you know, now it's time for me to go. And, you know, forgive me if I've said something, this and that. He got all his children close by. And he's just waiting, and, you know, there's no death. 41 days, there's no death. 42 days, there's no mort. 43 days, there's no mort. 44 days, there's no mort. 45 days, there's no mort. So now he's saying, now that Hakim Saab told me I'm going to die. So he said, let us go and pay him a visit. So they went to pay him a visit. And they said to him that, Dr. Saab, you said I'm going to die in 40 days. It's more than 40 days, 5 days extra. So Hakim Saab said, yes. So there was this mirror in the house. So he says, actually, this is my treatment for you. This is my treatment for you. Look in the mirror and see how much weight you have lost. So he looked in the mirror and he was straight. What was it? Just that anxiety. You know, Allah save us. When a doctor tells a person you've got cancer, and you know what? You haven't got much to live. And you will slowly see physically how weak that person becomes, mentally how he becomes. And Hakim Saab said, actually nobody knows when death will come. But this was my treatment for you, that when you have some kind of fikr inside you, and when you have this connection of the hereafter, and when you are connecting and understanding, then inshallah ta'ala things will get better for you, and look at you now. So he lost his weight. He lost his weight. And so subhanallah, my respected brothers and elders, as believers also, we need this realization that never mind 40 days, 30 days, 20 days, our maut can come to us anytime. Our maut can come to us anytime. Now, as Muslims, people of Iman, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said that you come in this dunya, and we touched on this in Jumu'ah, and I'm not going to repeat anything that I have touched in Jumu'ah because it would not be right. But just a quick reminder that this dunya is very important because of the most important transaction. That transaction that gives you ownership to Jannah, paradise, can only be done in this dunya. So that transaction is La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. That is why Allah puts you in this world. That you can claim Jannah by reciting this kalima in this dunya. In this dunya. And then after that you do good deeds. Now why is this kalima very, very important in this world? This kalima. Why? This now will give you an explanation of a very important concept in Islam. It is called Sadaqah Jariya. What is it called? Sadaqah Jariya. Sadaqah Jariya means that your good deeds, that your good deeds that you do, your good actions, when a person has got no iman, when a person has got no iman. So imagine this is planet Earth. This is planet Earth. This is Earth here. And you have Muslims and non-Muslims both living in this world. Actually, this book is about, you know, it's a map. So I can use this. So this is planet Earth. When a Muslim does any good deed, listen to this. When a person who has done this transaction, when he does any good deed, he has the license for export and import. What does he get? The license for export and import. What do you mean export and import? Export and import, the license, the good deeds that are allowed to go up in the heavens. Where are they allowed to go? So the license is given to you. Now you have, in your 24 hours, you read the namaz, you read the Quran, you gave sadaqah, you did good deeds, you didn't do ghibat, you didn't steal, you didn't do zina, you stopped from something that was wrong. In your total 24 hours, from Asr to Fajr, one group of angels, and then from Fajr to Asr, another group of angels, they take all your good deeds up. Where is it taken? Up. Up to the heavens. So now, if you don't have this license, if you are not a man of kalima, then your deeds, your good deeds, go this way. Where do they go? They only float on this earth. Where are they going? They are floating. So if a man who hasn't got iman but he gives charity, it's just here. Where is it? So Allah will pay him here. Allah will pay him. Any good character but he hasn't got iman, it's here. So for a man who hasn't got iman, that means he hasn't got a license for import and export up to the heavens. So his basic, you know, business that he can do is only in this radius, in this dunya bas. That is all from here. That is all. That is why he is not the recipient to the rahmat of Allah. That is why you cannot say assalamu alaikum to a kafir. Why? Because he is not holding the import-export license. I am only saying import-export because the modern language, we might understand this quickly. Do you understand, my brothers? Because he is not holding the license, he's not done the transaction of the kalima. Therefore, he is not the recipient of Allah's rahmat. And so you can't say to him, assalamu alaikum, may Allah's rahmat be on you. Because Allah's rahmat is only attracted to the people of iman. To the people of iman. That is why malaika only take the deeds. So we can't actually see. But billions and billions of malaika go up and come down. Go up and come down within seconds. Go up and they come down. Go up. And this going up and coming down, in the beginning, Jibreel alayhi salam would be doing this. Jibreel would be doing this. Jibreel alayhi salam was doing this when the prophets were in this dunya. Where were they? So Allah chose the highest angel for the Nabi. Highest ranked angel. So Jibreel would come with revelation. So his duty was to come with revelation. But now, when Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, upon him the Quran has been revealed, so Jibreel only comes down, as we know in the Quran, in the month of Ramadan. Jibreel comes in the month of Ramadan. That is not to say if Allah decides to send anybody, there is no restriction, but generally what we know from the Quran and Hadith. But then you have the other angels that are going up and down 24 hours. And what are they doing? So for an example, my name is Muhammad. So my deeds are taken and they are reserved up in the heavens. Reserved. Nobody has access to that. And you people, all of you, your amal is taken up, it is reserved. So how is the protection done? Because you have this license. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives this duty to the angels. And then this duty is so meticulous. It is taken care of in such a way that not only the angels, then Allah has placed two more angels to your right and to your left. And they never leave you. They never leave you. These two angels never leave you. They only leave you when the angel of death comes and the angel of death confirms that at this time now the ruh is taken out, then these two angels become retired. What do they do? Then they become retired. So these two angels, as mentioned in Surah Qaf, their duty on the right is to make sure that if you have done any good deeds, so if you have done any good deed, that is recorded and registered. And if you do any guna, that is also recorded. So everything is done with complete care. Complete care. Why? Because these are the people who will be going to Jannah. So every good deed that they do is recorded and is registered. So that is why, my respected brothers, Allah is saying, you came in this dunya only for this transaction. For you to qualify that you have a license, that your good deeds can go on top. And that is why there is a fundamental difference between the mindset of a Muslim and a person who is not a Muslim. A person who is not a Muslim, all his focus and he is preoccupied most of the time with dunya. What is it? Dunya. Why? Because his actions are going this way. His actions are going this way. Naturally, a Muslim, he is most of the time preoccupied with the heavens, Jannat. Where? And that is why his connection is always up. So he can't see this way. He's not bothered about this way. He is more bothered about the connection. That connection should not break. That connection should not break. That is why you will find, my respected brothers, sometimes, you know, you watch these documentaries. There's nothing wrong with this. A team of people will go to Africa in a jungle and they spend 1 year and 2 years there in the jungle, living in the jungle with hardship, you know, with the local Africans, and they are shooting this documentary and animals and wildlife, and you know, for every picture and video that they show you, it's, they have been there for 1 year, 2 year. Now, how much time you are giving to just seeing how these animals run, function, how what they eat, how they hunt, and you will find that a Muslim hardly does all that. You know why? Because the Muslim is already taught that this dunya is not your real residence. You are here for a greater purpose. And so a lot of the other people have not even understood why they are here. So they don't know why they are here, and they make an enjoyment, they do things, and they will say, you know what, we want to do bungee jumping. We want to come out from a plane and jump down. We want to go and, you know, be with the gorillas in the jungle and spend time there. And all these things. So people are so busy in all of these things because they don't have to pray namaz. They don't have to care about anything. They don't have a sense of responsibility that I as a child have to look after my father and mother. No. 18, I'm 18. When you are 18, the father says to the child, out. Your life is your life. Your life is your life. That is why they don't like to have a lot of children. Because if you have more children, abu to family tax credit, child tax credit is cut down. You know that name, Umar? You know that? You don't know. I'm sure he knows that. It's called, what is it? Instead it is replaced with what? Universal tax credit. What is it? So there were a lot of children, you know. Even our brothers in Somalia, you know, Somali people, they didn't need to work. How many children you have? This Abdi, that Abdi, mashallah, all of our brothers, please don't have any offense. Mashallah, the women were tough. 8 children, 9 children, not like our women. 10 children. And Allah was giving them barakat, man, with 10 children, how much? You're working part-time and your child tax credit, so now they said, hey, hang on. We only have one or two child, and they have how many? 10, 9. So now they introduce a lot of other rulings, you know what I mean. You know what I mean. And they say, you know what, we want to make this fair and square. But anyway, subhanallah, where was I? Why did I talk about this? Ji? How did I get to this point? Huh? What was I saying? Something very important. No responsibility. So you see, my dad is listening. Mashallah. Allah give him a long life. Amin bolo bhai. We are who we are because of the du'as of the father. You understand? We are who we are because of the du'a of the parents. Otherwise you are nothing. You really are nothing without the du'as of your mother and father. So the response, so there's no responsibility. So the mindset of a Muslim and the mindset of a person who hasn't got Iman, they don't want responsibility. What is it? So a child who's 18, bhai, you go, don't worry. An 18-year-old child will say to the Abba, Abba, okay, khuda hafiz, I'm going now. Yeah. Independent. Now the wife also decides that, you know what, do I have to stay with this man or does this man needs to stay with this woman? Everyone just becomes independent and however life takes you, because your entire vision is only north, south, east, west of this little earth. Bas, this little planet. That's all. That is all. We just enjoy, you know, Cornwall, Wales, and that's all. You know, that's Spain and that part of the world, and we enjoy, and that's it. Earn and spend, earn and spend. Friday comes and go, and you know, Saturday, Sunday, enjoy, go to the pub and do everything, enjoy, you know, go with different women, do all that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to the people like them, no problem, if this is what you want, وَمَا لَهُ فِي الْآخِرَةِ مِن نَصِيبٍ, then in the hereafter you won't get nothing. So this is why the concept of sadaqah jariyah, that your good deeds have access to go with you in the hereafter, this only comes with this transaction, Iman. And until you don't have Iman, if you don't have Iman, there is no sadaqah jariyah. And then another very important usul for us to understand is that when you have Iman and any good deed that you do, it is witnessed. What is it? Witnessed. So for an example, every namaz that you have prayed, so you came here for asr, wherever you prayed your asr namaz, and the quantity of namaz that you have prayed, All that is tallied, recorded. That Zohar 120 times, where? Leicester, this location, here, 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 here. And now to understand that because of the technology, mobile phone records every single place where you are, location, it tells you where you are. So everything is recorded. You read the Quran is going to testify for you. You did the tasbih, your fingers like this, every segment of your finger will speak out that he did tasbih. Your tears came out, the tears are your shahada. They will give shahada that this person did this, this, and he did dua. And so this is the barakat of staying with iman. And staying with iman and staying in this dunya as a Muslim, the greatest benefits, listen to this, my respected brothers. The greatest benefit is, let me tell you one thing. Enjoyment of this world does not mean that you have to do things that are haram. This is a dhoka from shaitan. What is it? This is a dhoka. This is how shaitan deceives you. To enjoy this dunya that Allah has given you, it does not mean that you have to do sins to enjoy. No. Not at all. In fact, you can enjoy this dunya without committing sins and by pleasing Allah. And that enjoyment will be greater. That enjoyment will be greater. Why? Because only with the name of Allah will your hearts find sukoon, contentment. And so what is the benefit of becoming a Muslim and remaining in the state of Iman and Islam? And why it is so important that you look after the Iman of your children? Hazrat Anas radiallahu ta'ala an, somebody came to him, a great Sahabi. And Sahabi, and they said to him, Hazrat, can you make dua for us? Can you make dua for us? So he says, yes, of course. So he lifted up his hands and he says, Rabbana atina fi dunya hasana wa fil akhirati hasana wa qina azab an-nar. So this man said, bas. Now because this dua is so famous, so he said, Hazrat, you are a Sahabi, you know, I just wanted extra, you know. Is this the dua you give? Hazrat Anas said, is there a greater dua than this? Is there a greater dua than this? Have you heard? Do you know what this means? Rabbana atina fid dunya hasana. You have covered this dunya in its totality. Allah, give me all the good of this dunya. وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَةً. And Allah, give me all the good of the hereafter. And then, وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. Allah, save me from the fire of Jahannam. It means that give me Jannah. So, is there a greater dua than this? Do you understand the dua that I gave? That is why, my respected brothers, when somebody tells you, make dua for me, then give him a dua at that, instantly at that time. And say to him, رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَا وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَا وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. Allah, give you afiyat. This is the dua. So being a Muslim, the greatest benefit that we enjoy is that Allah gives you enjoyment in this dunya and in the hereafter. Nahi samjhe meri baat. Nahi samjhe. Samjhe bhai. Are you tired, my respected brothers? Are you very tired? I'm sorry if you are tired, but I'm just looking at the time now. What will happen? We just got a few minutes, so we'll just carry on. You can be tired. Allah give you the energy, and Allah give you sihat and tandrusti, inshallah. But Rabbana atina fi dunya, only a Muslim enjoys this. A person who has done this transaction, that Allah gives him a beautiful life in this dunya, and a beautiful life also in the hereafter. Finished. Nobody else can enjoy this. Who can understand the beauty when you do sajda to Allah? How beautiful is that? When you are doing sajda to Allah and when you have Allah on your side 24 hours, Allah is saying, فَذْكُرُونِي أَذْكُرْكُمْ. You call me and I will say labbaik to your call. You phone a Mauli Sahib, he will say, I am busy. You phone a doctor, he will say, I'll give you an appointment. You call a plumber, they never come. You call a plumber, they never come. Never come. Sahi keh raha hu main aapko, mazak nahi kar raha. They never come. Koi koi plumber ho to naraz mat ho. You know, we've had that experience, you know. Never come. Allah raham kare. But Allah is saying, فَذْكُرُونِي أَذْكُرْكُمْ. You call me, before your breath ends, before your statement of saying Allah, that at the end ends, I am saying to you, labbaik. What is it that you want? That is Allah. That is who we are. People speak to stones. People speak to human beings. People speak to trees and fire and the sun and the moon and shaitan. Allah is saying, speak to me. I am Al-Quddus, the most pure. Allah, how fortunate are we? Allah is saying that I own the Mashrik and the Maghrib. Allah is saying, رَبُّ الْمَشْرِكَيْنِ وَرَبُّ الْمَغْرِبَيْنِ فَبِأَيِّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ. To me belongs the Mashrik and the Maghrib. The East, the West, the North, the South, everything I own. What is it? Call me. Ya Allah, do I have to be a grand alim to speak to you? Do I need to be a Hafiz-e-Quran to speak to you, Ya Allah? Do I need to wake up for tahajjud, Allah, to speak to you? Allah, do I have to be a man of clean slate and a man who has never done any sins or a man who abstains from gunah-e-kabira to speak to you? Allah is saying, any time, in any condition you call me, my answer to you is labbaik. Any time. That is why, my respected brothers, four sabaks are given in the two parts of Jumu'ah and our night session. Sabak number one is that your life in this dunya is very, very bolo, short. Sabak number two, why is your life short? Why? Huh? Who said temporary? Yeah. Because Allah is saying your life in this world, this is not your real residence. Your real address is where? And because you're in transit, that is why Allah has made the duration of dunya very, very short. Because Allah is saying, I'm not expecting you here to build or rewire the sun or the moon or the stars. Your duty is very simple. The barristers have come, the prophets. The books are available, the Quran. Your duty is one thing, which only takes 40 seconds. La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah. But after that, good deeds. What is it? Remain in good deeds. That is all you have to do in this dunya. Bas. So your dunya, your short duration is because your real address is where? Jannat. And number three, your third sabak. Then why is this dunya important? Why? Ji bole? Transaction. The transaction of Iman. Allah is the seller, you are the buyer. Allah is selling you Jannat, you are buying Jannat. What is the price of Jannah? What are you giving to make this transaction complete? Two things, Iman and A'mal. Iman and Amal. The transaction cannot be done in the grave. So a person says, you know what, no, I want to enjoy this dunya. Yaar, you know what, main mar jaunga na, and when I'm in the grave, I'll be all alone. I'll do 70,000 times tasbih. I'll be doing my fajr, zohar, asr, maghrib in my grave. No. It doesn't work. Allah is saying this transaction, your ownership to Jannah is in this world. Where is it? In this world. That is why Allah is saying, I gave you oxygen. I gave you oxygen, I gave you water, all the important ingredients, carbon, everything is there, heat, energy, your survival, everything I gave you here in this dunya. There is no excuse for you. I even gave you the brains, I even gave you the brains. And on top of that, my mercy, I sent so 100,000 prophets. And I gave you the Quran, and I gave you the technology, I gave you the minarets and the mimbar. So many people hear the adhan all the time. There is no excuse. You had to do your transaction here in this world. You can't do your transaction in your mother's stomach. You can't do this transaction anywhere else, only in this dunya. That is sabak number 3. Sabak number 4, it is after doing this transaction, after having ownership to Jannah, is now your import-export license that is given to you, Sadaqah Jariyah. What is it? Sadaqah Jariyah. So you give money to the masjid. You are sponsoring somebody. You are doing good deeds. All these good deeds you can't see. Oh, what is it in there? But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, you can't see. But my angels within 8 to 9 hours come to you and have taken all your good. Even the fact that you smile at your Muslim brother thinking that this is a sunnah, that deed is recorded and registered. That deed is recorded and registered and is taken. In your 24 hours, 2 shifts, malaika, just to go up and down to carry your deeds, your amal-e-saliha. And sometimes the quality of your deeds due to your ikhlas and due to your iman, it is at such an elite level that when they take your amal, all the angels gather there and they say, you know what, this amal is so lofty that it deserves to be presented to the court of Allah. So your certain amals are presented to the court of Allah. And then your certain amal are so lofty that it is presented to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Medina Munawwara. So when you are reading Durood Sharif, Sayyaheen, a group of malaika, they are called Sayyaheen. This group name is Sayyaheen. Sayyaheen, they are attracted to Durood Sharif. So every time you read Durood Sharif, they present it to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they take your name and the name of your father and they say, this so and so person has read Durood upon you. This is the barakat of amal. So the 4th sabak is that a person who has no iman, their actions are only in this dunya. And when you have iman, your actions go from here to up. This is very important. This is very, very important. And this affects your qabr. What does it affect? Your soul. All the way down from your qabr to a straight line, all the way up to the heavens where the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. That is why the real mi'raj, the mi'raj is way to the heavens. And going this way, that is called Isra. What is it? The journey of this dunya, this way, is called Isra. But the real journey is what? Up, Mi'raj. So why was this journey this way, and then this way? Allah is teaching you that my Nabi's journey, this way, is telling you that this dunya is also important. What is it? Baat samajh aayi nahi? That this dunya is also important. You can't just say, I don't, oh, you know what, I'm not going to look after my wife. I'm not going to work. I'm not going to spend money on her. I'm not going to do tarbiyat of my children. I'm just bothered about myself. Me, I'm just going to do everything. No. You have to have the right balance. So this, the whole journey, one journey is this way. That is called Isra. And then, the most important journey is from there it goes on top. So Allah is saying a Muslim's life is what? Rabbana atina fi dunya hasana wa fil akhirati hasana wa qina azab an-nar. That is Mi'raj. Rabbana atina fi dunya hasana. Wa fil akhirati hasana. Wa qina azab an-nar. And azab an-nar, there is Jannah. Baat samme aaya nahi, my respected brother. Now, another important lesson, and inshallah we conclude to that. What is the time duration that is given to us for us to quickly commit to this transaction? Can I call it transaction? Is it easy, okay for you to understand? This transaction means to read the kalima. For a person to read the kalima. See, anything you buy, medication, anything, it gives you an expiry date. Right, Kiran? So you look at the expiry date. Bread, a bread khareedenge. So what will you look at? The expiry date. Milk khareedenge, so what will you look at? Expiry date. Now, Allah is saying, quickly rush and do this signing. Do this transaction. Quickly make sure you have got the kalima, your wife has got the kalima. That is why kalima is so important. Allah is saying, you can't marry a lady who is mushrika. You can't marry a lady who is a mushrika. Why? Because chalk and cheese, too much difference between you and her. So Allah is saying, how are you going to keep your own transaction strong when you have got a partner that is the opposite of this transaction? So Shariat has closed the doors by rules and regulations, and all of these rules and regulations are there to protect you. What are they? Protect you. So you can get married. In fact, a Muslim, Allah is saying that the best option for you is a Muslim woman. A Muslim man gets married to a Muslim woman, and a Muslim woman gets married to a Muslim man, because there is compatibility. That transaction, Iman, is one. What is it? There's no fighting. Otherwise, what will happen? She will say, you know what, in my religion, I can eat pork. So I'm going to put pork in the fridge. And he will say, well, I only eat HMC, Umar Farooq ki tarah. So can pork and HMC meat be together in a fridge? Now fighting. Now a baby is born. He will say, I want to put my son's name Ahmed. And she will say, no, I want to put my son's name, Allah forbid, Jay. Kya? Problem? My parents will call him Ahmed. Your parents can call him Jay. Now, bichara, this boy will be confused.com. He will not know what to do. So Allah is already protecting this ummah by don't be fools. And I want to put, and saying that I want to quote this. Main likhkar aaya hoon isliye ke. It's a very nice quote that I have written down for people to understand. Beautiful quote. Isko sunye aap. It is better to lose something for Allah Ta'ala. What? It is better. Can you say it for me? It is better to lose something for Allah Ta'ala than to lose Allah for something. How beautiful is that? And this is the mistake a lot of the people are doing today. People are prepared to lose Allah for silly things of this dunya. For silly things of this dunya, people are prepared that we want to lose Allah because of this. Allahu Akbar. This young Muslim lady, Mauli Sahab, I'm in love with somebody who is not a Muslim. Give me a fatwa, it is jais. My dear sister, can I give a fatwa, is jais? It is not jais, but my dear sister, is there, you know, some shortage in Muslim men? Koi kam ho gaye Musliman? You could not find any Muslim man to marry? Or a Muslim man, you could not find a Muslim woman to marry? Example. And then shaitan plays with them that no, he's a nice person, a good character. You should look at the character and he's a good person. There are so many Muslims who are Muslims, but their character is not good. They don't look how shaitan is teaching them the wrong things. Arey bhai, this is from shaitan. That means that you have not entered Islam in its entirety. You haven't entered Islam in its entirety. Muslim means that you leave something for the sake of Allah. But you can never leave Allah for that thing. It is better to lose something for Allah than to lose Allah for something. Must understand this and our job is done. I'm quickly going to end now, my respected brothers. Allah give you Jannatul Firdaus for sitting here from Asr and listening carefully. Allah be pleased with us. May Allah make you mustajabu da'wat. May Allah fulfill all your du'as, inshaAllah. What is the time limit that Allah has given us for this transaction to be done? And this is explained to us in the 11th para in a beautiful story, Surah Yunus. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about an incident that occurred in the time of Musa alayhi salam. وَجَاوَزْنَا بِبَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ الْبَحْرَ فَأَتْبَعَهُمْ فِرْعَوْنُ وَجُنُودُهُ بَغْيًا وَعَدْوًا حَتَّى إِذَا أَدْرَكَهُ الْغَرَقُ. And Allah is saying, we crossed Musa alayhi salam. وَجَاوَزْنَا بِبَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ, and we crossed the Banu Israel, the Israelis as in the followers of Musa alayhi salam. We crossed them from the ocean. They crossed the ocean. فَأَتْبَعَهُمْ, and they were pursued by Fir'aun and his soldiers. Fir'aun وَجُنُودُهُ بَغْيًا وَعَدْوَى, unjustly and oppressively. Now what happened? Allah is saying, when Musa alayhi salam and Banu Israel were given that crossing, and they managed to cross Bahre Kulzum and they got out of the water, Fir'aun was following them. Hatta iza adrakahu al-gharaq, then the waves of the water from both sides collapsed and opened up and they were drowned. What were they? They were drowned. Hatta iza adrakahu al-gharaq. Now Allah is saying that when Fir'aun saw that he is going to be drowned, and water came unto him, and he was now in the time of Sakarat. What was he? In the time of Sakarat. Now when in the time of Sakarat, if somebody is mumbling, you don't know what he's talking about. But Allah is saying, I am going to tell you what Fir'aun was saying in his Sakarat. Can you imagine that? What Fir'aun was saying in his Sakarat. So from this ayat-e kareema, Allah is saying that the duration for this transaction to take place is from the time a child, male or female, is baligh. What? Baligh. Or even before bulugh, that's fine. But when I say baligh, because at baligh what will happen? The second Amal-e-Saliha come into place. But before that he needs to have Iman. Before that he needs to have Iman. And when he's baligh, then Amal-e-Saliha will become farz on him. So the minute he is in dunya, the expiry date is the time of Sakarat. What is it? The time of Sakarat. So Allah is saying in this ayat that Fir'aun was being drowned, but even being drowned in his Sakarat. So Sakarat means when already the angels have started the extraction of soul. That ruh now is jumping inside him, and the ruh is now in that process of leaving the body. That has started. It's called Sakarat now, finished. So what did he say at the time of Sakarat? Allah is saying, none of you are there. None of you can tell you what Fir'aun was saying at Sakarat. Fir'aun actually said at the time of Sakarat, آمَنْتُ أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا الَّذِي آمَنَتْ بِهِ بَنُو إِسْرَائِيلُ وَأَنَا مِنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. I bring Iman and I testify that there is no God but He, and I bring Iman upon the Rabb of Banu Israel, and I am from amongst the Muslims. This is what Fir'aun said at the time of Sakarat, that I am from amongst the Muslims. Allah responded, Al-ana? Now? Now? وَقَدْ عَسَيْتَ قَبْلُ. Your entire life that you passed, you disobeyed Allah and you were from amongst the mufsideen, those who were engaged in corruption, the corruptors, engaged, busy, people who were corrupting people. Now, Allah did not accept his iman. Why? Because at the time of Sakarat, a person has already seen the truth. He sees the angels that are there, and the hereafter is already open for him. Therefore, this is not imtihan. Therefore, this is not. That is why also, on the day of Qiyamah, on the day of Qiyamah, there will be regret, and people will say, Oh Allah, now we believe you. But bhai, it's too late. Kya hai? Now you've seen Rasulullah, now you see Jannat, and now you are saying that now we believe you, now it's too late. So Allah closes the door by Sakarat. So Allah here has just opened up for us something amazing, and that is the kalam of Fir'aun in Sakarat. That in Sakarat, when he saw the angels and the malaika and death and the ruh that was coming out, He knew straight away that Musa alayhi salam is the Nabi of Allah. And the Rabb of Musa is the Rabb that I needed to believe in. But it was too late. So that is why, alhamdulillah, Allah has blessed us with iman. And we must pray to Allah that we die with iman. And in order to die with iman, we must do good deeds. And the good deeds that we'll do will give us good energy and strengthen our iman. Allah give us all the tawfiq. Allahumma taqabbal minna wa tub alayna innaka antat tawwabur rahim. Nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Sami'na wa ata'na ghufranaka rabbana wa ilayka al-masir. Bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.